Now, you mentioned most people don't understand the Spratly Islands and the South China Sea and so forth. Why don't we quickly get your overview of what the significance is of that? What is going on there? Why is it important and who is it important to?
Well, it's part of a big strategy that China has to take greater control over the supply lines in and out of China. Now, they're doing it lots of different ways. There's this thing called the Belt and Road Initiative that now most people are familiar with, which is the building of truly historic infrastructure, airports, ports, railways, roads, digital infrastructure for the transportation of data, but also things like aqueducts to move water from the Himalayas into China and irrigate the West as if it could be a California. It's a very broad, comprehensive view that they're expressing that China needs to be more connected to the rest of the world in order to secure stability. That's what they're focused on. Now, one part of that picture is the South China Sea. And so the Spratlys, all these island chains that basically were a bunch of rocks sticking out of the Pacific Ocean. But legally, once the Chinese started to put concrete on them and particularly elevate them with concrete, because under the law of the sea, the elevation is everything. Once they started to physically reinforce them, then their ability to claim ownership over them went up dramatically. And in the last few years, what they've been doing is building runways and airstrips and docking facilities, ports type facilities, which further increases their foothold. Now, why do they want it? Well, it's part of this security of supply. It's partly that they view that this part of the world is effectively their backyard. And they wanted some way of standing off against the United States and preventing the U.S. from encroaching on China. And let's not forget, I know it's a fact I'm always pointing out for people, but, you know, this is a country. China is a country that cannot feed itself. It does not have enough arable land, enough clean water. And so how are you going to feed all these people? Well, it turns out 10% of the world's fish supply is right there in the South China Sea. So part of establishing a physical presence is to secure that supply chain of protein. I think it's bigger than that as well. China's extending its reach, pushing out the borders and boundaries to become more interconnected with the world. And they do it one direction with the Belt and Road, and the other direction they're doing it with a maritime strategy. But taken together, that's the way I see it. It's a comprehensive approach, which Xi Jinping decided and announced in very early days, about 2013. So they've had a view on this for a very long time.
So big picture, what you think is really going on, which investors need to understand, is Trump is really looking for the big political win. It's not just about trade negotiation. It's about this all-encompassing deal that brings together the conflict in the South China Sea, the elimination, hopefully, of the nuclear threat on the Korean Peninsula. Trade is part of it. Now, I'm just thinking about this as you're describing it. Is President Trump's strategy here to sort of time this so that he gets this really grand big win right around election time in order to cement his reelection?
So I have a very out of the market view on this. I think, yes, the total focus for the White House and for the Chinese is to announce this big comprehensive deal that covers a lot of subjects at once. And the two leaders go down in history over the Korean stuff, but they also basically get to go down as, you know, that moment where there was a big fight and in the end they settled all the disputes. That's a great victory for both of them. And it would set the stage for at least a decade, maybe two decades of more normalized relations. But what is the president's personal agenda? My view is I think the chances are that he is not going to run again. And that is a function of, well, it's a number of things. One, remember, the reason he ran for the presidency was because he was intending to launch what they're calling TNN, which is the Trump News Network, which would challenge CNN. And notice that in recent months, he's often spoken or tweeted about the need for CNN to have a competitor. And every time I see that, I'm going, that would be him. And the weird thing was, having, you know, entered the race to create the profile that would be required to get that thing funded, then he ends up winning, which was not the expectation. So, in other words, he's just going back to plan A. Now, why does he want to go back? Again, perception is everything. I or you might say that being president of the United States is the coolest, hottest, most important role you can play in the world. But his view could easily be, well, actually, now that I've been here, it's a nightmare. Being president, you're totally constrained. You know, you got legal constraints. You got institutional constraints. You know, in the first half of his term, he had a Republican Congress. Now he doesn't, so he's very limited on what he can get done on domestic stuff. Another reason he wants a victory on foreign policy where nobody can constrain him. He has freedom to act there that he doesn't have on domestic affairs. So I think also he's driven by another thing, which is the legal investigations, not the Mueller case, because the fact is, really, at the end of the day, the president can pardon everyone, including himself, in the Mueller case. There might be some legal challenges to that over time, but you could just basically make that announcement one afternoon and you're done. Mueller's over. But what you can't do is address the New York State prosecutor and the Manhattan Attorney General, both of whom are engaged in investigations into the Trump family affairs. And, you know, let's remember, it's not like you have to have a really serious case. You know, how did they get Al Capone? They got him on mail fraud. That means one time you misdated a check and you put it in a mail and you're done. That's an offense. So if you want to, if you've got to deal with that, that's all about you need money, because that's how you buy time in those cases. You've got to throw a whole lot of money at it. Well, one way that you solve all problems at once, you secure your place in history, you announce a much bigger platform than the White House, because TNN would definitely be that. It would have more echo chamber, more influence. He'd have less constraint, more freedom to tweet, you know, anything he wants. And that would also earn a ton of money. And so now you've solved all these problems. Because let's face it, is this president really going to just retire? I can't see it. He always has to go from one really big thing to a much bigger thing. And what is the bigger thing? It's TNN. And by the way, before anybody says, oh, you know, dismisses that, let's remember, the last few presidents have all wanted to transition from being president of the United States into a global media brand. That's exactly what, for example, that's what the Clintons tried to do, right? Transition into a global brand that's visible through media. It's what the Obamas are currently doing, right? You do books and a public profile, world tours, and you have a voice then. Tony Blair, similar thing. This is not unknown. This is now a pathway that many former leaders want to trod. In fact, the only one who hasn't done this at all has been the president I work for, George W. And George W. Bush went, you know what, when I'm done, I'm done. And I will go back to chopping wood and other things. And I'm not going to use my position to have influence in that way, because I don't think it's right. And he has been remarkably quiet since leaving office and did not, you know, he's done a few speeches, but he didn't go off to try to be a voice on and to criticize his successors or things like that. So I think this is a real possibility, and I would go a step further and say, not only does he want to get this deal done with the Chinese, because that cements his place in history, he wants to be in a position to launch this thing immediately after leaving the White House, which to my mind raises questions about where would the financing come from. I wouldn't be at all surprised to see that ends up being, you know, sovereign wealth funds, certain nations. And that he'll probably announce this at the worst possible moment for the American political machine, right? Is he going to say to everybody, Well, actually, I've decided I'm not going to run again. I'm going to launch TNN. I think you could expect that he might announce this weeks before the next American presidential election, throwing a spanner into the works, making everybody wrong-footed. The Democrats will all be positioned to fight on the "we hate Trump, vote for us to get rid of Trump," and suddenly he's not there. They're pushing against something that just disappeared. So they're all wrong-footed. And Republicans don't enter the race because it's hard to enter against an incumbent president. And then he steps to the side and goes, "I'm leaving." And they'll go, "Wait, you know, wait." So, and why would he do that? Because he is so angry with the American political machine and how badly he feels it's treated him. I could easily see that he would announce this right at the last minute. And by the way, what would that guarantee? Massive coverage of his new network, which I suspect will have everything from political talk shows to reality TV. And might I say, when I saw that Kanye was having meetings in the West Wing, I'm like, makes total sense if you're launching TNN. Total sense. So, yes, that's the timing that I see.